story of Christ's passion. Tonight, we have white banners. And I had to second guess myself. I had to look it up to make sure it was supposed to be white pyramids and banners for Monday, Thursday. I thought maybe it'd be purple, and I think in some cases, some churches do use purple. The reason we have white is because tonight really does begin as a celebration. It begins with joy, but the night won't end that way. And the reason it begins with joy is because tonight, as I said earlier, we commemorate tonight the institution of the Lord's Supper, the night that Christ, as he was celebrating Passover, gave his people, his disciples, his church, the gift of his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins in bread and wine. Now, in the Lutheran Church, anytime we gather to have communion and the Lord's Supper, we begin with the pastor reciting these words. And we can find them in your small catechism if you'd like to look at them. And Luther will say, where are these words written? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul say, and they're a conglomeration from all four of those authors. Those words are, in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. And our understanding in our Lutheran tradition is, as the pastor says, that over the bread and the wine, that word is joined to those elements, so that as we consume those elements, we are consuming the Word of God, we're consuming his promise, we are consuming Christ's very body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. But those words start with a stark reminder. And they begin by saying, in the night in which he was betrayed. And that is this night that we celebrate, this night that we remember. There's a lot that goes on in this night, as we read, and I want to thank the ladies for reading those scriptures. There's a lot that's going on this night of betrayal, and betrayal isn't the only thing. You probably picked up on it, all the words that are happening against Jesus. Before the meal begins, Christ does, in fact, predict his betrayal. And I find it a little humorous that as he predicts that one of the 12 is going to betray him, all the 12, they start talking to each other, well, and to Jesus, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And I can't tell, like, are they really questioning, like, do they not know if they're the one that's going to betray Jesus? Or are they afraid that they're going to do something by mistake? Or maybe they're saying it like, surely not I. But Christ, of course, is speaking of this specific betrayal of Judas Iscariot. After the meal, Jesus and the disciples, they go to a place called the Mount of Olives. And while they're there, Christ goes beyond just the betrayal of Judas. He then predicts that all of the disciples are going to fall away, that they'll be scattered. He says that the shepherd will be struck down and the sheep will be scattered. You will all fall away. Now, Peter, being Peter and kind of the boisterous one of the group of disciples, can't handle this. And so he says, you know, all of them, they'll fall away, but surely I won't, Jesus. To which then Christ nails him with a personal prediction and says, Peter, you will deny me three times. Already Jesus has predicted betrayal, that they'll fall away, that they'll be scattered, and that Peter will deny him. From here, Jesus feels the need to pray, and it really is one of his most desperate hours as he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he takes with him his three most trusted disciples, Peter, James, and John, and he goes to this garden, and he just needs them to be there with him. He needs them to almost like a stand vigil as he goes to pray a little bit further away. And he says, just stay here as I go and pray. And what does he find them doing? They can't help but fall asleep. He just needs this one thing. And in Luke's gospel, it talks about how Jesus is so much in turmoil and just in pain as he's praying that he actually sweats blood. And they can't stay awake. So he tells them that famous line, that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. They are weak-fleshed and sleeping. And then when Judas comes and brings the soldiers to arrest and seize Christ, they all do exactly what he said they would do. They leave him. They flee. They run away. This isn't just the night in which he was betrayed. This is the night in which they were caught sleeping. It's the night in which their flesh was weak when he needed them most. It's the night in which they all left him. The night in which they fled, the night in which they ran, the night in which they fell away, the night in which they scattered. It's the night in which those closest to Christ were faithless. Now we can all be like Peter and declare our utmost faithfulness to Christ. We can be like the rest and say, surely not I. But when we do gather for the Lord's Supper here in this church, and you hear those words, in the night in which he was betrayed, they are a law against you, a law against me. We are to see ourselves in this story. We are to see ourselves as betrayers. We are to see our own faithlessness. See, those times when we trust ourselves rather than trusting in the Lord, we are faithless. Those times when we doubt the Lord's goodness, doubt the Lord's kindness, his mercy, his graciousness to us, his presence, we are faithless. All those times when we fall away or run away and run and scatter from the will of God, when we leave the will of the Lord, we are faithless. These words are a law against us. But where we are faithless, Christ, thankfully, remains faithful. In the face of all this stuff that's happening against him, and we'll see this tomorrow night too, in the face of all these things happening to him, in the face of betrayal, in the face of abandonment, of denial, of weak-fleshed, sleeping sinners, Christ submits to his Father's will. Not my will be done, but yours. And not only this, but before all this takes place, he leaves his faithless people a gift. His last will and testament, you might say. He leaves his people the promise of his very blood, his very body, in, with, and under bread and wine to deliver what he is soon to earn the very next night on what we call Good Friday. He leaves his people a means to receive the forgiveness of sins. He gives forgiveness to the faithless. He promises sustenance and nourishment for the weak-fleshed and sleepy. Our Lord Jesus did all this for us in the night in which he was betrayed. Let us pray.